You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Ghetto people, yeah. What are you gonna you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. Our government cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. Yo. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. Hope you're going to have a good weekend. And I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it has to get done, it must be done, it must be done, then it is you who will do it. And that's why we appreciate you and love you, because you never procrastinate. You always handle your business. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled by my good brother, Brother Kwaku, for your listening information. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, of course, this program, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., but all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Monday, from 6 to 8 on Monday, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jahad Ahmed, and that's followed by from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers every Tuesday from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. The Black Farmers Report is Wednesdays at 8 p.m. from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening, brothers and sisters, every Friday at 8 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7 on Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council. And if it's Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Remember, go to that website, WeBuyBlack.com. They're in the constant push to establish a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. Yeah, that's right. We don't have not one damn supermarket here in the Atlanta, not even in Atlanta, in a city, because the city is small, but not even in the metro area. It's ridiculous. So, but not only that, just to establish it here, but to establish it in other cities as well, because it's going to be an outlet to American African farmers and other growers, American African food producers, be it canned goods and so forth. So, please, brothers and sisters, go to WeBuyBlack.com and make that contribution. Africa for the Africans. Brother Mamani Tayemba is ready to take another group of brothers and sisters to the motherland. He has taken probably over 400 of our people in the many years as he has been doing this. He's ready to go to Ghana May 24th to June 5th. May 24th to June 5th. Then in November, November 18th to the 29th, Tanzania. November 18th to the 29th in Tanzania. And then December 24th to January 5th, 2022 in Ghana. And then April 1st to April 11th in Senegal and Gambia in 2022. All prices are still the same. It has been for quite a while. $3,700 per person. So check out my good brother, Bomani Tayemba, Africa for the Africans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, brothers and sisters, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Baba Renoko Rashidi, I made a mistake. I thought the dates were wrong, but he will be my guest next Friday. Baba Renoko will be my guest next Friday, and look forward to that conversation. Going to his website, drrenoko.com. That's drrenoko.com. He has a special request. Sister Althea Cooper's. She is on the road recovery, and it's organized by, I'm not sure who Nia Cooper is, if it's her daughter, but it reads, our sister, my sister, Althea Cooper, is a little down right now. Nobody works harder than Sister Althea Cooper, and she never asks for anything in return. Right now, she's having some health challenges, and we would love to help her out. There is a GoFundMe campaign in her honor, and we would love for you to contribute. No amount is too big or too small. For those that might not know, Sister Althea, she was an extremely important contributor to our children's book, Asada, Garvey, and Me, A Global African Journey for Children. It is an excellent work. So please, if you can do it, help the sister out. Also, too, of course, Renoko has a trip upcoming. Brother Renoko will be in Ghana with Professor Small and Dr. Man, see, I got to start taking some of this stuff because I know Dr. Leonard Jeffries. I know who it is. You know, sometimes I'm just a little blank there. So, believe me, I'm gonna rectify this situation. Professor Small and Dr. Lynn Jeffries, that's July 18th through August 3rd. And then around the same time, he's leaving Ghana and going to Kemet for a tour in Kemet, July 31st to August 13th of this year. I think both of those trips are $4,200. $4,200. And he's been doing some. So go to his website, and that information I just read to you, and all the other information is right there. That's drrenoko.com, drrenoko.com. If you want to contact him through email, it's Renoko, R-U-N-O-K-O, at hotmail.com. Renoko at hotmail.com. Habashah, Habashah Incorporated. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. HabashahIncorporated.org. Go online to HabashahIncorporated.org and look at the great work they're doing on the continent and at home with programs such as Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. But of course, they have the Kashi Project in Ghana, and you'll see pictures of its progress. It also has a repatriation initiative that they have, an 18-month training to come home to the motherland. They have a repatriation. So go online to HabashahIncorporated.org. HabashahIncorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The LEDGE Group. That they have a raffle in Tanzania, a safari in Tanzania. that you can take advantage of. Go to theledgegroup.com. Check it out. Find out what it takes for you to possibly go on a safari in Tanzania valued at $15,000. That's right. But of course, the Ledge Group does great work in the areas of human development, food, water, clothing, and shelter. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects going on the continent in six countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. They need more members, and you should become a member of the ledgegroup.com. In fact, if you become a member of the Ledge Group, you can buy land in Tanzania. They have worked out an agreement with the Tanzanian government. You can buy an acre of land for $250 U.S. An acre of land for $250 U.S. So check out theledgegroup.com. B.B. Toomey. B.B. Toomey. A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.com. B.B. Toomey.com. Brothers and sisters, this website, you need to be just... It has everything that we need, information, shopping, feedback, events, all these things, crowdfunding, all these things. They have a Saturday seminar series with Brother Obatalawo Kamban. And this Saturday, tomorrow, what was Israel in relation to African people, to black people? The danger of a single story. The aim of this study is to present historical sources that provide African-centered perspectives on what Israel was in relationship to Kemet, to African people, and ancient Kemet. This study draws from ancient and classical historical texts that, number one, identify the expulsion of the Hyksos with the Exodus story, and number two, document the manner in which these expulsions took place. We find that there are significant differences in narratives regarding the nature of the Exodus and the expulsion. However, many people are only familiar with a single biblical story. In conclusion, as students and as scholars, it behooves us to research into primary historical sources to transcend the danger of a single story. Ashe, and of course you heard me on this program many times, the Exodus didn't happen. They had a seminar on it many years ago, and it never happened. It's a story. But the Hyksos are real. They did come into Kemet, and they occupied Kemet for about 100 years or so until the brothers and sisters from the south came up and expelled them. And then the dynasties continued on. In fact, they said the only thing, all invasions of Kemet were destructive. And the only thing that they can say that contributed to Kemet was the horse and chariot, I believe. But anyway, check it out. I'm going to check it out. It should be a great presentation. Great presentation. So where am I at now? Ah, yes, here I am. Wadada's. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy. They have delicious smoothies and Vitality drinks and all kinds of pastries. And then, of course, on Saturday and Sunday, they have vegan dishes. They are catered vegan dishes that you can take advantage of on Fridays and Saturdays right here. So right across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine is open on Fridays and Saturdays. The Shrine is open today, Friday, from 1 to 7, and on Saturdays from 1 to 7. And, of course, the Shrine has everything. They got furniture, clothing, and all kinds of good stuff. They have the red, black, and green shoes, too. Yep. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. I'm going to see Mama Nia this weekend because I got to go to the Greenbrier Mall to check it out. And Mama Nia has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, all kind of stuff. She has a new location in the Greenbrier Mall, more spacious and so forth. But if there's a book that you're looking for, give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. My good brother, the bookstore, my good brother Gazimde Ajamu and his bookstore, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, that is east of here. And he has a coffee bar serving delicious Cameroon boil and other delicious African coffees and teas and bean pie. You know, let me say, well, you know, last time I had some bean pie there, I could tell it wasn't the Supreme Bee Pie out of Chicago. That's just keeping it real. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, Brother Gazemde. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. In fact, I'm going to pick up some shoes from him, the red, black, and green shoes. That's right. I have pretty much have all styles. These are the only shoes I've been wearing now for the last 4 years. Red, black, and green, brother. That's right. In fact, I want the Nat Turners, man. Those are cool, and they don't have them, the Nat Turners. Yeah. I mean, hey, Michael got a shoe. Kobe got all them cats got. Nat Turner, shouldn't he have a shoe? You damn right. The Nat Turners. And Khaled Muhammad. You know, he had those real nice, comfortable shoes. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. They had their Thursday night broadcast last night on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is called Dare to Win, and that's every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Us Lifting Us. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. That's right. Check out my sister, Shelly Amonset, and give her a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. That's Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. All the stuff you need for your grooming, you know, beard. She got all that kind of stuff, incense, clothing, T-shirts. So check out Sun Goddess Scents. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle really has been doing work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. That's right, it's pronounced Haiti and spelled A-Y-I-T-I. But, of course, you might say Haiti. But give Sister Gabrielle Aurelia a check her out on sanjay-haiti.org. sanjay-haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti. Doing excellent work in education, healthcare for these children, sustainable agriculture, as well as entrepreneurship, because they grow food and they have chicken farm there and they dried vegetables and all kind of good stuff. So check it out. Akabin Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Yah doing an outstanding job in educating our youth. In fact, now, because of the pandemic and now because of Zoom, they have children in their institution across the country as well as in Africa. So people can take advantage of the excellent educational program that they have in developing warriorhood. Akabin Institute, if you want to make a cash donation, or excuse me, if you want to make a monetary donation, you can go to make a check or money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Or you can use PayPal or Cash App. For, say for Cash App, just put the dollar sign, YAH, the letter MBARUTI, Baruti. He's a prolific writer, and he has a number of books out. If you want to check out those books, go to AkabinHouse.com, AkabinHouse.com, and check out the myriad of books that Baba Baruti has. In fact, I'm about to read one in there right now, and that is the Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And, of course, let me just do this right quick before I do that. I think I'll go do that. The Pan-African Federalist Movement of North America, they're having a on African Liberation Day. And brothers and sisters, if you've never listened to this program, you know I'm in constant praise of African Liberation Day. I think that's the day that all of us as African people globally should commemorate and celebrate African Liberation Day, May 25th. I'll be giving a historical perspective on it and so forth. It's a Tuesday. It's a Tuesday, May 25th, and from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. in the evening, Atlanta, D.C., New York, and Florida, they're coming together
to host this program. And the program is called What's in a Word. I'll give you the details. What's in a Name, rather. Excuse me. What's in a Name? A virtual town hall about forging a common African identity. What's in a Name? A person you can contact, of course, is Mama Nubuntu. Mama Nubuntu here in Atlanta at 650-766-5663. And I look forward to that. I'm on the program, so I definitely look forward to that. And Abakasin Sum Sum, brothers and sisters, Abakasin Sum Sum is about to happen. It's going to be this Sunday. And, of course, Abakasin Sum Sum has been held at Sweetwater State Park in Lithia Springs, Georgia. It's this Sunday, 12:30 to 6:30. And here's a little promo by our dear sister, Mama Marimba Ani. So this is a little promo. So I want to make sure you get this in. Here we go.
Come to Abakasin Sum Sum, where you are in our story as told by Nana John Henry Clark. Come to Abakasin Sum Sum, where our warrior ancestors, Ya Santiwa, Cecile Fatima, and Dandara, give us the courage to live for world African sovereignty. And the men and women and children and wives of Haiti manifest the energy of the African people's revolution. Come to Abakasin Sum Sum. Hear the voices of our warrior ancestors. Call our children, our youth, to African sovereignty through song, dance, war chants. Hear the drums. Feel the rhythm as they call us to the African People's Republic of Palmares, where we learn to organize, build, and defend a strong African nation. Cabral is calling us to join the African People's Guerrilla Army of Guinea-Bissau and Cape Verde. Lumumba gives us the order to stop the massacre and rape of our people and resources and to reclaim the natural wealth of the Congo. Come to the 18th annual Abakasin Sum Sum, Sunday, May 16th, where Nana Marcus Mogzaya Garvey tells us that he will never desert us. The warriors are not gone. They live in us and our children. They give us power. We make them powerful.
Let's go fight. It's a constant battle, dear brothers and sisters. Let's go fight. That's this Sunday, May 16th. At the Sweetwater State Park in Lithia Springs, Georgia, here, Abakasin Sum Sum. If you plan to go, wear white and enjoy the spirit. It's beautiful. It is very moving. They do an excellent job in presenting that information and the recreations and the dramatizations that they do. It's fantastic. Abakasin Sum Sum. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. May 13th. Children had to watch their mothers being raped. Consider the scars that this leaves on a child. As impressionable as a child as children are, for a child to watch or hear a parent being raped has to leave an emotional imprint in the memory that is damaging for a lifetime. One also must know the trauma a woman suffers through when she is raped. Our African sisters had to deal not just with the single harmful experience of being raped, but were repeatedly and randomly raped by ravenous enslavers. Additionally, husbands had to watch the repeated sexual abuse of their wives, and fathers watched the repeated rape of their daughters. This had to be an emasculating experience. The aspect of manhood defined by one's ability to protect his family, was taken away. Kofi Adé. We have been forcefully socialized into objectively racist and sexist reality. It is psychologically bare most of us to be completely sex-focused and de-racialized. It has us at such a point of racial and sexual alienation that many grown males have become totally, even joyously, consumed by the insensitivity, immorality, and apathy of their sexually deprived menticidal thoughts, words, and behaviors towards their own. As a case in point, such individuals will enviously become sexually excited from watching videos of their own daughters being violently constrained, subdued, and raped in jail cells by white police, and being full cavity searched and raped on the streets and in other public spaces and places by the same, or their colored minions. No warrior in his right mind would be this way. Affirm, my warriorhood is intact, and I expect justice for all wrongs against my people, regardless when they occurred and who committed them. Affirm, my warriorhood is intact. My warriorhood is intact, and I expect justice for all wrongs against my people, regardless of when they occurred and who committed them. May 14th. Racism is so universal in this country, so widespread, and so deep-seated that it is invisible because it is so normal. Shirley Chisholm. Racism is a group action, not an individual one. The acts of individuals, one group against the individuals of another, are only successful if they are supported by the power, approval, and support of the group to which they belong. And racism's power, approval, and support must come from an aggressively dominant, intolerant group. As such, any accusations of racism must be assessed at the national, not the individual level. Sadly, but menticidally understandable, most of us so badly want this racism to end that they pretend it does not exist. Delusional fantasizers of the absence of what is consistently in their faces must interpret the racist hatred of this reality in individual terms. For to accuse a nation is to indict all Europeans, all Caucasians, all Urugu of their love for them, and is too great for this to happen. They can't indict all of them. They love Urugu. Affirm, I understand that racism against which I fight is Urugu's normal thought and behavior against us. Love that quote. Affirm, I understand that racism against which I fight is Urugu's normal thought and behavior against us. May 15th. I believe one of the greatest fears confronting Negro leaders is the fear that they will not be well thought of by their white friends and by white people in general. Benjamin E. Mays. Always, every Urugu's first thought is to distinguish friend from foe. Fear and fear of exposure directed their interactions with others. Subconsciously, Negroes know this. In many ways, these special individuals are the clearest among us about the innermost workings of Urugu's mind. Otherwise, they would be completely lost as to how to proceed in their subservient interactions with them. This makes it understandable on the so-called liberal side how and why these Urugu-claiming Negro friends only have these associations because of severely menticidal state of these friend foes. They are quite aware that they are engaging a menticidal, physically and psychologically beaten into the African mind over many generations of institutionalized racism and interpersonal racist terror. They know that if they were not for the intensity of their self-hating desire to be loved and validated by Europeans, or anyone other than Africans for that matter, these broken beings would in no way want to have European associations. They know that they are engaging a lie and understand the contradiction and treason inherent in such imbalanced relationships. If not, they know that there would be no interaction between them and Negroes and lost souls because these victims of menticide would have no concern for what Urugu thinks of them. And believe me, I definitely don't. In fact, affirm, I care less what Urugu thinks of me. Let us all say that. I care less what Urugu thinks of me. That's been our problem. The Enye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Give less than a rat's ass what they think of me. You know, I've been encouraging you, our listeners, and other brothers and sisters to watch two documentaries that I talked about one last week, and that is the on YouTube, The Great Pyramid K, 2019. The Great Pyramid K, 2019. K stands for Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. It does not mean the black land, like Europeans want you to believe. Well, it means the black land of the, you know, once the river and floods and inundates and then it recedes and it deposits the black fertile earth. No, it means the black people of that land. Kemet means land of the blacks. This documentary, Great Pyramid K, 2019. If you are a member of ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, or if you are a conscious brother and sisters, or you want to know your history, this documentary, even though 3.5 hours long, is a must view. Because not only did it say how the pyramids were built, they tell you who built them. But not only the pyramids, but many other deep structures around the world. The other documentary is Exterminate All Brutes. That's what we're going to talk about today. By Raul Peck. Raul Peck is he was born in Haiti. He was born in Haiti, and he's lived around the world. He has other documentaries. I'm going to read a little bit on it. First, I'm going to play this piece as an introduction, you know, and we're going to talk about this, and I hope that some of you have watched it, or if you haven't, you have some questions or comments. I see many people in the queue. For those who are in the queue, just hit star twice. Hit star twice, and then we can have conversation when it's time. I'm going to play this particular piece and then read from this piece that was back in April, because it premiered in April. On HBO. So if you have HBO, go to HBO. Or if you have streaming, that's even better, because you can watch all four episodes or chapters, whatever in which one you want to call them. They're about an hour each. And believe me, I've seen it and I'm going to see it again, just like Pyramid K. Commercial. A commercial that I can't fast forward. Sorry. And that's how they get you sometime, ain't it? And they throw a commercial in there. But I thought I had it queued, but one few more seconds, brothers and sisters, and here we go.
Here is the story we have been told in Columbus's travel journal. They were discovered. But there is no such thing as alternative facts. There is something we need to talk about. Three words that summarize the whole history of humanity. Civilization, colonization, extermination. This is the origin of the ideology of white supremacy. This is me in the middle, and I just want to understand. Why do I bring myself into this story? Because I am an immigrant from a shithole country. Neutrality is not an option. So you best duck, or get out the way. It's time to own up to a basic truth. A story of survival and violence. We know now what their task truly is. Exterminate all the brutes. It's not knowledge we lack. You already know enough. What is missing is the courage to understand what we know.
We're miles apart.
Who are we?
But safe dreams.
What if, from the beginning, the story was told the wrong way? The nightmare is buried deep in our consciousness. So deep that we do not recognize it. And over over the centuries, we lost all bearings. Because the past has a future we never expect.
That's a trailer for Exterminate All the Brutes. It's taken from a book by that title by the Swedish author Sven Lundquist, who died 2 years ago of around the same time. In fact, 2 years ago this day, May 14th. And Raoul Peck knew him, just as he knew his countryman Marcel Rolf Torlet. In his book, he died in 2012. His book, Silencing the Past, he wrote that in 95. Exterminate All Brutes was written in 1992. And also, Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz, she is still living, and her book, An Indigenous People's History of the United States, looking at the history from the indigenous people. So he looked at these things and came up with this documentary, which is deeply profound. And it's ironic at this time when states are enacting laws not to teach objective history, as I might argue, but only teach the 1776 bull that Donald Trump wanted to put on the educators because they didn't like the 1619. Because their belief, no, America's history did not begin in 1619 with the enslavement of Africans. No, it began in 1776 when he finally broke away from the British. But this documentary, this four-part, hour each segment, documentary is profound and deep. He bounces back and forth. It's not like a chronological thing. He bounces back and forth in it. And believe me, it is deep. I suggest that you go to HBO or any way that you can and get this documentary. The very existence of this film is a miracle, says its creator, Raoul Peck. In the final episode, Exterminate All Brutes, and that might be an understatement, a four-part experimental documentary that takes on the unyielding, bitterly contentious subject of white supremacy. If you listen to this program, you know I don't use the term white supremacy because they're not white, and they're shown the hell ain't supreme, you know, but understand they created that. In fact, all the stuff that's out here is created by Europeans. Europeans imposed their culture on the world. We'll explain how that happened. The bitterly contentious subject of white supremacy since the so-called Age of Discovery. This is the Age of Discovery when Europeans went out and take everybody's stuff in the name of. That was the Age of Discovery by Europeans. That Age of Discovery followed the Renaissance, the awakening of Europeans when they were in that medieval or dark age. Exterminate All the Brutes is unorthodox in both content and style, drawing heavily on the work of leftist academics. The series also incorporates scripted passages and animations that serve as guided meditations on human suffering more than any visual aid. It may well be the most politically, racial, and intellectually challenging work of nonfiction ever made for TV. And as deep as it is, I would agree. Best known in the U.S. for his I Am Not Your Negro, his Oscar-nominated 26th film that paired the words of James Baldwin with a collage of images of the racist culture that Baldwin was critiquing. Peck has been making difficult films about cataclysms and revolutions for almost four decades. While he is frequently focused on his home country of Haiti
in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, where he spent most of his childhood. He lived all over the world, and his films have dramatized everything from youthful adventures of an anti-capitalist icon, the young Karl Marx, to the Rwandan genocide, sometimes in April. The unifying factor is not just an obsession with injustice, racial, economic imperialism, but also the history of resistance to it. This makes Exterminate All the Brutes the culmination of the 67-year-old filmmaker's lifelong work. And just as he says, everything about this documentary, he's lived it. He lived in Haiti. The rise of Haiti and how what happened to Haiti through the Duvaliers, the John Tries, the Aristide regime and so forth. He's lived in Haiti. He lived in the Congo. In fact, another documentary is Lumumba, which I'm going to find and check out, Lumumba. Because Mobutu Sese Seko had, by the West, Western, because the Congo is, when you look at the African continent, the Democratic Republic of the Congo is right in the middle, and it is in the Congo where mostly all of the resources that are so plentiful on the continent, they're all over the continent, but it's deep in the Congo. And Mobutu Sese Seko, his ass, squandered all of that wealth and robbed the people. That's why, to me, even though Muhammad Ali went to the Congo, went to what it was called Zaire at the time, it was called Zaire, for the, quote, rumble in the jungle against George Foreman. But it was Mobutu Sese Seko who had robbed the country consistently and continuously of its wealth. He takes his title from the Swedish historian Sven Lundquist in his 1992 book about his travels through post-colonial Africa, which in turn wrestles with the sources of the, quote, Exterminate All the Brutes, Joseph Conrad's immoral novel, Heart of Darkness. Peck also draws heavily on historian activist Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz, an indigenous people's history of the United States, and his friend and Haitian anthropologist, Michelle Rolf Tourlette's Silencing the Past, The Power and Production of History. In each episode, he credits himself as having made the series together with them, all three scholars, even though Lundquist and Tourlette have passed on. Tourlette died in 2012 and Lundquist in 2019. This might sound like the recipe for something dry and detached, but there is a core of human warmth to this series, not least in the way Peck, who acts as the first-person narrator, describes his relationship with the writers who influenced it. Lundquist was definitely not a white savior, he reflects. Swin saw my world and lived in it as I did. Perhaps because of the diversity of his influences, as well as his own international background, Peck has used as little use for the priorities, the buzzwords, or individual villains of the sold social justice debates. Worn out terms like problematic and cancel culture feel inadequate to the topics at hand. And so Eliminate All Brutes makes identity-based movements with no grounding in hundreds of years of global history look a bit provincial. Its point is not to rail against the Donald Trumps or even the Adolf Hitlers, so much as it is to render visible the architects of oppression that makes the rise of demagogues inevitable. He lived in Germany. He lived in Berlin. So he's seen firsthand what happened. He has a lot of film footage of Adolf Hitler. A lot of film footage. While the series concentrates most on the U.S. and its original sins, the long, slow genocide of indigenous people, as well as chattel enslavement, it is really a non-chronological revisionist history of the West since the Crusades. He says that the Crusades, when they came out of that and woken up out of that dark age, that medieval age, and these Caucasians were trying to
reestablished, you know, through Christianity, because Christianity became white, became Europeanized when Constantine in the 5th century. Third century. Made Christianity Caucasian. Constantine, the emperor of Rome, at the Nicene Conference, look that up, 325, Nicene Conference, that's 4th century, 325 AD, the Nicene Conference, and it became Caucasianized. And so hundreds of years later, they wanted to, in the 10th century, 11th century rather, all the way up until the 13th century, they tried to take Jerusalem away from the Arabs or later Muslims. And of course, they had a number of crusades of which they lost. The Europeans lost them. I don't think they ever beat, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they might have defeated them one time, but they consistently got their ass whooped. Peck layers his narrative over collages of archival materials, infographs, and hauntingly, in this context, clips from movies like the Conrad-inspired Apocalypse Now and John Wayne's The Alamo that mythologicalized shameful moments in American history. The aim is to make viewers aware of the prejudices we've passively absorbed through pop culture in order to challenge these assumptions with jarring counter-narratives rooted in contemporary scholarship. Similarly, the effects of relating monstrous details from the lives of Thomas Jefferson or The Wizard of Oz author F. Frank Baum isn't to tarnish their legacy. It is to illustrate how many of these same people whose work is a source of pride of our society also helped to normalize brutality within it. In an episode that examines how the West establishes dominance via killing at a distance. I like that part because, I mean, that's what Europeans have developed, killing at a distance. He shows how when they had the musket and the gun only at 10 feet, so if you shot it, and of course the smoke, and you could tell where the fire came from, if you were out of the range, you weren't hit. But later they kept, you know, and once again, if you listen to this program, you will know, I've always said one thing above all other about Caucasians. They always found a better way to kill your ass. They always found a better way to kill you. The development probably from a rock to a club to a spear, a sword, a knife, a gun, a Gatling gun, a machine gun, bump stocks and all that little kind of craziness, bombs, hand grenades, cannons. They always found a better way to kill your ass. Killing from a distance. He talks about Nagasaki and Hiroshima. He talks about the cannons. He talks about these things in the documentary. Peck describes how the backward and poorly resourced Europe of the 1600s would, yes, and that's the truth. That's what Dr. Clark said. Backward and poor Europeans were. Land poor, resource poor, and people poor. And they went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of. Backward and poorly resourced Europeans of the 16th century would require a monopoly on ocean traveling ships with guns capable of spreading death and destruction across huge distances. Yeah, I could send a message to, hey, if you don't do what the hell I say, I'm going to sit out here in the ocean, you can't do nothing about it, and I'm going to bomb your ass. I'll bomb you. Peck has an eye for details and perspectives that make legible the ways in which education and, to even greater extent, pop culture has narrowed our thinking about dark moments in history. Exterminate All the Brutes challenges the perceived and received wisdom that colonialism was a uniquely European form of white supremacist violence. Doesn't the term accurately describe the violent westward march through indigenous territory that citizens of the 13 colonies originally the United States undertook after securing independence from England. Even if the euphemism manifest destiny made it into the textbooks instead. That's in the documentary, that one scene that I've seen in books where they have this like an angel cracker woman with blonde hair, flowing blonde hair, and she's flying through the air and people are running because they're, you know, it's the manifest destiny. We must go westernly and conquer all, you know, take all. Why wasn't it ever called a war crime? He demands of the American bombs that incinerated Nagasaki and Hiroshima. He argues that it was centuries of colonial genocide that allowed Hitler to upgrade his ambitions to a Holocaust on a European soil. Hitler looked at the United States. South Africa looked at the United States when they wanted to deal with extermination and segregation or apartheid. That was their motto, the United Snakes. The visuals are arresting as words. Long tracking shot registers like no other moving image I've ever seen. The sheer size and thus the industrialized strength deliberates. And the liberationism of Auschwitz. In several narrative sequences that range from mesmerizing to fascinating. And then there's Josh Harnett. Josh Harnett is the actor, the Caucasian actor who played in Penny Dreadful and Pearl Harbor and other acts. He is the antagonist in the movie. You see him at the beginning when he goes into Florida with the Seminoles who never signed a treaty. Everybody else signed a treaty. Treaties were signed with these Caucasians. Everyone was broken. Everyone. And he goes into Florida and he sees the representative, his sister, a native indigenous sister with the Seminole. And what he's saying to her is that you return my property, our property to back, which of course is the encaptured Africans who fled. And see, not all of us went north. They fled into Florida to where the Seminole country is. And he said, you return my property. You know, who are you mean owning property? Owning other human beings. And he said, you return my property, then I'll let you go to a land where we have made way for you. If you return, I'll let you go to. So basically he's saying, you let my go my property and I'm going to take your land. And I'm going to send you to a place that I have made for you. Man. Peck uses the script material in somewhat confusing array of different ways. Harnett shows up to the slaughter the other from Africa to the New World, but also as an alternate reality, Christopher Columbus, who has barely set foot on what is now Haiti in 1492, when he and his men are murdered. See, this was interesting. There's a segment that one ship comes up and then off the ship, of course, is a boat, and the boat comes to the shore. And all these people see these people coming, these conquistadors, these Spanish or Portuguese, whatever. And they confront them and they kill their ass. But the next scene or so, hundreds of ships are coming on an armada. It reminds me of Apocalypto, one of my favorite movies. If you haven't seen Apocalypto, okay, I know it's in subtitles, but read fast. It's a great movie. And at the end of Apocalypto, which was deep, because after they were trying to kill Jaguar Paul, the two people who were still chasing him, they are stunned, they are catatonic, because on the horizon they see, or coming at them, they see a ship and a boat coming to them. And Jaguar Paul looks at it and he runs, because the reality is, this is their demise. This is their demise. More consistently potent is a series of wordless watercolor style animations that translate individual human suffering into poetic terms. Africans forced unto slave ships, indigenous Americans on the Trail of Tears. Yes, the Taino people, if you want to talk about a genocide, and genocide is a completely removal of a people. They're gone. Now, there's attempts of genocide. When there are attempts of genocide, the people are still there. They still have their culture. They still have their main, just like the European Jews. That was not genocide. That was murder. Attempts of genocide. Because genocide in itself is mean those people are gone. Like the Tasmanians. Those people are gone. Like the Taino people and what is now Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Those people are gone. No more traces of those people. That's genocide. Many of these stories, as well as some of the revisionist readings of history drawn from the works that influence brutes, have already seeped into the mainstream culture via pop culture texts from James Lowe's Lies My Teacher Told Me to the New York Times 1619 Project, and most recently, Isabel Wilkerson's Caste. Peck's great contribution to the synthesize them in a way that may only be possible for an artist whose point of view was not shaped by Eurocentrism or American exceptionalism. He isn't too reverent of organized religion to include among the series' many relevant personal anecdotes how to become an atheist as a child after enduring corporal punishment from a clergyman. And he points that out. Because, you know, Catholicism in Haiti, huge Catholicism around the world, and he said him and a kid got into it, and he just thought they would be, you know, scolded or talked to in some way, but the whoever it was, the father, the Monsignor, whoever it was, whooped their ass. He said they whooped their ass good, and I was like, forget that. Unlike Discovery's uneven 2019 dossiers, Why We Hate, which barely, I saw that, which is terrible, which barely analyzed the roles money and power have played in conflicts around the globe, Brutes has no problem critiquing capitalist values that may make it less palatable for some audience, but one hopes that many Americans whose views fall to the right of Peck's will concede that his radical arguments deserve some rare self-space in the marketplace of ideas. No doubt about it, he's on point. Though he is unsparing in his accounts of colonial violence, Peck's endgame is not to make white viewers wallow in lonely self-hatred. It is to encourage change. Citing Rwanda, he argues that the conditions that enabled the Holocaust were not unique, and that humanity will keep committing atrocities until we take a stark look at our history and choose not to repeat it. No wonder Peck feels an affinity for Baldwin, who framed white America's repressed guilt over centuries of cruelty to African people as a root of both group misery. To accept one's past, one's history, is not the same thing as drowning in it, he wrote. It is learning how to use it. To that end, Exterminate All Brutes makes an electrifying instructional manual. I say, Exterminate All Brutes. Great piece. We'll talk more about it, and you can join the conversation if you've seen it, if you haven't, other issues, but we're going to get off into why this mindset will persist, and we'll deal with it historically. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
some of the work gets kind of hard. This ain't no place to be if you plan on being a star. Let me tell you, it's always cool. And the boss don't mind sometimes if you act the fool at the car wash.
You're just smiling this morning. All of your love is wishing you well. Your tears, they just swell. So make yours a happy home.
Happy home. Make yours a happy home.
Ooh, I got a happy cry. All
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Two of my favorite soundtracks, my favorite movies. Car Wash. In fact, I just seen them recently. So Car Wash, the soundtrack by Rolls Royce, outstanding. You know, and Car Wash was a one day in the life of a car wash, a Friday. It was Friday in the life of a car wash, the brothers and so forth in the car wash. And then, of course, Claudine, James Earl Jones, and my girl. And that was a great movie and an outstanding soundtrack. To me, if they're not in your top 10, then your top 10 is weak. You know, along with Superfly and The Shaft and a few others. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds on Monday, 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Jihad Ahmed, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10 on Mondays, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesday, from 8 to 9 to Black Farmers Report. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. So check them out this evening. And then on Saturdays, tomorrow from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again, at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're talking today about the documentary, Exterminate All the Brutes. Came from a title of the book by Sven Lundquist, a Swedish writer, and a person that Raul Peck, who put this documentary together. Raul Peck is from Haiti, and he's lived through a lot in Haiti, lived through the Duvalier and John Baptiste Aristide regime, and lived in Germany, Berlin, Germany, lived in Africa, lived in the Congo, saw what happened in Rwanda. So he's speaking, this documentary is not just some research that he, you know, would go to the library and other sources. No, it is what he lived. It is what he has experienced. And he's presenting this documentary and telling humanity, this is what happened. See, now you see with the 1776 and there's other legislation. I think there's a Texas legislation that you can't teach anything outside of what is going to be prescribed, which is pretty much like the 1776, which is a whitewashing of history, glorifying, you know, what America is and the American idea. Just as he says, make America great. When was America ever great? America has never been great. You can't be great murdering, killing, displacing, taking. You can't be great. I mean, what's the definition? Definitely not by mine, because great in my definition is somebody who does things not just for themselves, but for humanity in a positive way. When I said that, it reminded me of what Minister Farrakhan said about Hitler. He was wickedly great. Oh, man. I don't know if you remember that when he said that back. I think it was in the 90s, early 90s or something like that. Oh, man, he was vilified, especially because of the dominance of European Jews. And not dominance of their numbers, but dominance of their imposition on society and their control of society. You see, I mean, just like I'm doing this presentation, what's in a word for the 25th, excuse me, for African Liberation Day for the Pan-African Federalist Movement. And we're talking about words.
how people use words. And words have multiple meanings. Just like when I found out many years ago, of course, about the word intelligence. And I think intelligence means to be smart or willing to be knowledgeable and so forth. But then, of course, there's another use for the word intelligence, which, of course, is covert, undermining, clandestine, and so forth. And then, like the Central Intelligence, CIA agency, you know. So there's words that have always had conflicting meanings, you know. But one thing for sure in this documentary, exterminate all the brutes. It is in your face. It's straightforward. The antagonist in the movie is Josh Harnett. He's an actor. And you see him at the beginning. You see him all of the facets. In fact, there's one portion where he's riding a motorbike. He crashes, and the Africans confront him. He searches for some guns that were buried, and none of them worked. He has a pistol, and he kills a few and strangles another until all of them vamp on him. And then he wakes up. It's a bad dream. But the sister who, in another segment, who draws his water for his bath and so forth, and she looks outside and she sees four brothers who are hanging, obviously from something that he ordered. And so when he wakes up, she's right there with a pistol in his face, and he tries to reach for a pistol and she cocks it. You don't see her kill him. You know, whether you want that to happen or not. And of course, for all of us, yeah, we want to eliminate Urugu. Eliminate the situation that has put us in, you know. That's why, for me, you know, I don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody. But what I do hate is a system that Europeans, Caucasians, Urugu, whites, crackers, hunkies, whatever, created, giving themselves a top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us as African people at the lowest position. And this that they took around the world, everywhere around the world to this very day, people of darker hue, people who are deeply melanated, are shunned the most, are ridiculed and demeaned and degraded the most. To the such extent that those who have that beautiful sable skin want to bleach it. They want to bleach it. They want to straighten their hair. Their hair is not good. The natural hair that grows. That's why it's interesting when you see the hair brothers, and you know, when you now look at brothers and sisters, and it started way back, of course, with the froze, and it was deep when Spike Lee's sister in She's Gotta Have It, how she wore her hair. People think she should comb her hair, let it grow. And you see how it grows towards the sun. It grows naturally towards the sun. Remember, brothers and sisters, if you want to comment on what we're talking about, and I see many people in the queue, you can hit star twice, or you can dial 215-490-9888. Hey, what's up, Jay? How you doing? 464, Jay, how are you?
Star twice. That's
you
what
go.
You said.
That's what I said. Hey, you did it.
Hey, listen, let me ask you this, man. In all sincerity and honesty.
That's what I try to bring.
Why shouldn't a white man treat black people the way that he do? Why should he?
Well, see, let me say it to you this way. Jay, hold on. Let me say it to you this way. Because I think it's, for us, it's the deceit. It's the lying. Putting on a false face. Talking about how, see, that's the belief that Caucasians have, that they're good. That's why they suffer from cognitive dissonance. That's why they suffer from fragility. That's why they suffer from a condition of hegemony. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. And no, I can't believe that I'm so bad. No, because they're liars. So I understand what you're saying, Jay. Why shouldn't they do it? but it's against all humanity. Why should they do what they did?
The white man there, but her man. That's where you missed the point from the beginning.
You're under the
assumption that the white man is humane, that he has any true earthly valid on the planet other than being the Cretan that he is. I mean, the white man has never behaved in a humane manner towards his own damn people. So
right.
What makes you think that he's supposed to treat African people in a fair and balanced way?
But
the problem is not the white man. The problem is black people.
Because we
That's
believe
what
it, huh?
The problem is,
well, you know, because
they haven't figured out yet that the white man is your perpetual enemy.
Well, see,
until you get to that point of your understanding of the white man, you always going to be in this
situation. Jay, because why? He's a deceiver. He's a liar. Because if I come to you, Jay, and I've done what I've done, but yet I present to you in such a manner that, oh, Jay, you know, it's all right. It's all good. I've taken your name. Oh, Jay, it's okay. I've taken your family. I've taken your land. I take all your resources. But yes, you know, Jay, here is Jesus, and it looks like me, and here's all these things.
Hey, Oshie, we passed that stage, bro. It's like, I'll make it.
Oh, no, we haven't.
I'll make it.
Oh, no, we haven't. No, we haven't.
Yes, we
still,
have.
Oh, no, we haven't. They're still doing it.
I'll give you this simplicity. If your woman cheat on you, what you going to do?
Leave her ass.
So don't you think that's what you should do with the white man? What's the difference?
I agree. You know that, Jay.
There is no difference.
You know,
she
I agree.
She bring you up until the time that you figured out she was cheating on you. And when you figured out the time that she was cheating on you, you left her. Now, the question is, when you figure out all these things about the white man, what should you do? Leave him alone. That's basic logic. Negro has no ability to deal with basic logic. That's why we're in the position we in.
And I agree because, Jay, hold on. I agree because there have been other societies that the European has tried to do what has happened to us, like China, you know?
Yep.
They kicked them out. They closed it off. That's what we should do. We should kick everybody else out of Africa. We should kick. Hold on, let me finish, Jay. We should
kick
every.
Whole story.
Hold on, we should kick everybody out of Africa because we really have all that we need. We have all that we need right there. Kick everybody out of Africa. Kick the Chinese out, the Indians out, the Arabs out, the Caucasians out, and then for 10 years work on building us up. Until the time you want some of Africa, you will pay fair market value price for it. It's African sovereignty. Me and you talk about it a number of times, don't we, brother? Yes, we do.
Brother,
and that's how important it is.
The first thing you must do is, after you kick the white man out, is have a mass killing of the Negro. That's all. If you don't do that, you ain't never going to win.
No, I agree.
Because the mindset and the thinking of the Negro that Mao showed, when he dealt with his issues with his people, that got them to the point to now, they are basically the real world power in the world, and that America is basically their footstool in a sense.
Well, they own America's debt, so they could call that debt any time, but I understand that. But you're right. You got to get rid of dissent. You got to get rid of Negroes. You got to get rid of those agent provocateurs. You're getting rid of all of that. Oh, I agree. And if they won't go, to me, telling everybody to get out, you go back to China for Caucasians, you go back to Europe, and you want to go to America, you go to America. Because there's some people here in America who have no allegiance to America like myself, could hate this damn place, would say, I will come to Africa and work with Africans to build Africa, to build roads, highways, you know, schools, hospitals, towns, villages, ports. To build the infrastructure, to build solar and wind power. I would do that, you know. But unfortunately, there's not a lot of us there. Because why, Jay? We have been bamboozled. We have been led astray. European uses tricknology. So, yes, that's why they still.
Hoodwinked.
That's right. Hoodwinked. You know.
Bamboozled, hoodwinked.
Yeah.
We've everything, you know, unfortunately, Oshie, everything is happening to us as the African people because we basically go along with it. Or as my beautiful brother Ralph say, you die or die, that does it. You know what I mean? The reality is you got to die for something, man. That's why the Creator put you on the planet, to stand up for something and to die for something, to try and liberate your people from this madness. Because if you notice, man, the manipulation gets better and better. Mm-hmm. The white man has improved on
because of technology
to brainwash us as a people. So why haven't we improved on our ability to not be brainwashed? Because the information is there.
Yes, it is.
History shows us what the white man is. He's no good.
Yeah.
And remember, I didn't use none of my eloquent words for...
Thank you, Jay. Thank you.
I now refer to him as the white man because I don't want Elliot crying about how I'm on his platform talking about the white man in such derogatory terms. And when I go on call or another show, I don't call him the C word. You know what I mean? So I want you to be happy, Elliot. I don't want you to be offsetted if you come on the air tonight. Put a smile on your face. Don't let the Clippers go astray now. But you know, the reality is we got to figure out how we're going to solve our problem. And our problem is beyond the white man. Our problems are us as a people.
Yeah.
That's what the real problem is. We can't even figure out how to come together to defend ourselves against this white man. But we rush to put the white man in power, to give the white man a position to have governance over us. And then when he gets that position, we don't demand anything in return for him to reward us for being good. There's a word I want to use, but I won't use, as one would say, good flunkies. Because that's all we are when it comes to the white man, is flunkies. Because there's never no even exchange. There's never no growth. There's never no development. There's never no sense of loyalty towards the white man. And the white man show it to you every day with how they won't even pass H.R. 1 to give you that simple protection to be able to serve them properly. But then they'll come to you in a couple of months begging you to put them back in the office and go through hoops and things. Now, if you fall for it, then you deserve what you get. And that's just basically what the deal is.
Well, and that's the thing that we didn't have. We keep begging Caucasians, pleading with Caucasians to please respect my humanity. Please allow me to live in the land that you stole and eliminated the indigenous people of this land. Allow me to be a part of that. Allow me to go to your schools. Allow me to live in your neighborhood. Allow me to work at your places and promote me. Look at me objectively. You know, we keep begging and pleading, and yet it continues to happen. Because why? Because we've been trained so deeply in self-hatred that we don't believe. In fact, many of us today, to this very day, at this very moment, believe that anything all black is inherently bad or evil or inferior. We believe that because we've been trained to believe that. We've been trained to believe that we cannot come together, that we cannot unify. And I say, for those of us who are adamant about it, get the hell out of here and let's do it. Time is of the essence. Time is now. The unification of Africa has been time. We have to do it now, especially when China's talking about putting 300 million Chinese. And I ain't talking about, you know, the 300 million Chinese they're talking about putting into Africa. They ain't scientists. They ain't the top of the line Chinese individuals. No, because those people want to continue to live in Hong Kong, continue to live in Shanghai, continue to live in Peking or whatever. So we're at a very tenuous position in the history of African people.
Oshie, they're talking about, you said, how many people?
300 million.
So 300 million, where are they planning on putting 300 million at? And how many countries is that gonna affect?
Well,
and
well,
the bottom line is, what are Africans gonna do for that not to happen?
Well, they're all over the continent. You know, they've already taken some in Zambia. Airport that they built that Zambia could not, pay on the loan or whatever their agreements were. So they've taken that. But not only did they do that, when they seized it, they developed a security force to maintain it in Ghana, which I was.
Africans or Chinese?
Chinese.
The security force.
Chinese.
Oh, okay.
You know, not only that, you know, in Ghana, you know, there's Africans that built highways. I mentioned that I went to the northern region in Ghana, in Tamale. They built a road from Tamale to the game preserve in Moli Park. They built a road that attaches that. But not only did they do that, though, Jay, they built a resort for themselves that you could see on a higher hill, and a road, of course, that leads to that, you know.
That's so, only for Chinese?
Well,
the Negroes coming in and enslaving and working?
It could be. I didn't really ask.
The Ghanaian people.
Let it happen.
The Ghanaian people
who
are supposed to be so advanced are going to allow that to happen, right?
Yeah, they let it happen.
So they get what they deserve.
You know, because.
You have enough history. Hold on one second. You have enough history and knowledge now to understand the play. To not allow that to happen, and if you allow that to happen, then you get what you deserve. I'm not gonna feel bad about that. I'm not gonna have no sympathy for the Ghanaian people if they allow that to happen. The history is there. It's written. It's all over the place. And for you to allow that to happen, then you get what you deserve. If you're going to allow somebody to come in and enslave you, then you deserve to be a slave. It's that plain and simple, bro.
Let me say this to you, Jay, because I understand what you're saying. I really do. And I hate to condition the mental and condition that our people are in that allows that to happen, that we continue to do that. Because, I mean, for me, and I've been to Ghana many, many times, and first time was back in the 90s, the mid-90s. And when I come to Ghana like 2 years ago, to see that the infrastructure is no far along than it was back when I came the first time in the 90s, totally depressing, totally ridiculous and uncalled for. But it's that way because of lack of serious leadership. And of course, another thing is the brain drain. You know, just recently I saw this piece on this African Nigerian who's done so great, and he's a chess master. He's 12 years old, chess master, or other Africans that do things in other European countries that, you know, that none of this shit should astonish anybody, because that's who we are. But the problem is viewed in a European context. And unfortunately, you know, in that context, it's astonishing that somehow those who have been viewed as unintelligent, us, those have been viewed as ugly, us, you know, in demented and degrading ways, can somehow rise above that and become this, that, or the other. Of course we can, because we're the first people. That's why I'm adamant about us seeing that documentary, Great Pyramid K, 2019, because that tells us and shows us not only how we built the pyramids and who we built the pyramid and who built the pyramids, but it tells us what we did other places where we went. We never were like the European, I'm coming to your country. I ain't coming to bargain. I ain't coming to trade. I ain't coming to do nothing. I'm coming to take. And as I said earlier, Jay, if you heard me, as you know, Jay, you listen to this program consistently, and I appreciate you for that. But I'm, you know, there, the European, you know, his mindset is, I'm coming to take. And so what I got to do, because I can't really battle hand to hand with a lot of people. Europeans, they develop superior weaponry. And what I've always said is that what he's always done is found and created and developed a better way to kill your ass. And so then it came a point where he could kill you from long distances with cannons on ships and then howitzers and Gatling guns, bazookas, and all kinds of stuff. He's always found a better way to kill you and then intimidate you. If you don't succumb to what I'm saying and what I want to do, I'm going to kill you. It's just like in the opening scene of Exterminate All Brutes, when the actor Josh Harnett plays this Union soldier in Florida telling the Seminoles, "You have my property. You have our property," which means us, because in enslaved Africans not only ran to the north, but they ran south into Florida where the Seminoles. And he says, "Give us our property back, and then I will let you go to a land that we have for you." So if you give me my property back, I'll let you march, walk thousands of miles to Oklahoma, the Trail of Tears. But she says no. He shoots her in the head and burns the place down. And you know, even though this is some kind of reenactment or dramatization, but no doubt it happened that way. Because that's how they are and who they are. And so all those treaties.
I just wish we get to the point to where as we take some of the traits of the white man and use it against the white man for our own survival. Because unfortunately, the way things are going now, it don't look good for us as a people. You know, I mean, the bottom line is we as an African people are just going to have to die in order for our people to be free, because these people are not getting any kinder, gentler or anything. And the funny thing is, whenever you want to see the white man in action and how he really in his mind operate, just look at what's going on between Israel and Palestine.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that the Israeli people treat the Palestinians like a cat treat a mouse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Truthfully.
Yeah.
Because if it was me, I wouldn't want to be just toyed with. Whenever they feel as though they want to kill you, they kill you.
Well,
whenever
Jay,
they feel like they want to bomb you,
Jay,
they bomb you. I say just get it over with.
Jay.
Stop playing games.
Jay, they couldn't have done that. Oh, you know, Jay, you know them son of a, they wanted to do that. But they had to get world
favor. I don't know why they don't.
Hold on, listen. They had to get world favor because of what happened to them.
No, that's not true.
Oh, what? Jay, come on now, listen to me, brother.
I'm gonna they tell had to. You, no, I Jay, hold stand on. By what I just said.
No, no, you can
That's
stand by
not
what you
true,
said.
Because if they wanted to kill all the Palestinians, a few people would be upset for a short period of
hold
time,
up,
and
Jay.
This would go on as usual.
Let me say
That's
this. Let me. No, Jay, listen, man. They wanted. They had to get world favor. They had to get the world on their side by what happened to them because of what happened in Germany. So they couldn't go right away after the Balfour Declaration and then Britain coming into Palestine and then now being able to take Palestine and make Palestine their capital. No, they couldn't have done that. They couldn't have.
I'm talking about
but,
now, Ochi.
No.
I'm not talking about I'm talking about 50 years ago. I'm talking about today they can do it.
Today
they just be business as usual.
Okay, now, Jay, listen. I'm saying that's what happened then. I agree with you today. I think that's what may happen today. I think that's what may happen today. Because what they wanted to do then, because, oh, man, you know, we have no home and we're scattered and, you know, and we're persecuted and we're murdered, the ovens and da-da-da, Auschwitz and Buchenwald, all of that. But now today, and Biden said, Israel has every right to defend themselves.
That's what he's telling you.
You know, and so that being the case and not saying a damn thing about what happened to Palestinians in Palestine, go ahead and eliminate them. It's war. It's war. Go ahead and eliminate them. And, of course, the biggest friend to the United States, more than any country, the United States gives more money to any other country. In fact, gives more money totally than any other country than to Israel.
Yep.
To Israel. And of course, you know, Israel has all of the weaponry. All of the weaponry. It has all of the so-called, quote, intelligence. They have everything that they need to eliminate Palestinians from Palestinians' land, just like they did all other places. Because, see, Israel, European Jews, Judaism is not a race. It's a religion. It's a train of thought. It is not a race of people, okay? You can't look at another Caucasian and say, he looks Jewish. No. No. Now, you might see some Hasidic Jews with the big black hat and some curls, you know, Orthodox Jews, but they Europeans. Judaism is European. In fact, that's one thing that Nasser said. Nasser, who was the president of Egypt, he said, man, he said, the Jews left Palestine and came back Caucasian when they took it. Because they're European, they're Ashkenazi. They have no link at all, genetically or any other way, to that land. They are late converts to Judaism. Judaism is a religion just like Islam, just like Christianity, just like Hinduism. Except there are only two religions that proselytize, two religions that go out and seek converts. Well, no, Hinduism too, Hare Krishna, they seek converts. But Christianity and Islam, Judaism does not. It is not, because it's more nationalistic.
The reality is what they're doing to the Palestinian people is evil. And, you know, to me, it's like, it's sickening because it's playing with people, man. I hate seeing people being played with and toyed with the manner in which these Jews treat the Palestinian people. But then again, I'm not totally sympathetic to the Palestinian evil, because
especially when they came here.
Over here,
that's
and
right.
Some of the most disrespectful
that's right.
mofos one could right. imagine.
Yes.
So hey, you get what you get.
Yeah.
I was arguing with a brother the other day about that. You go into their stores, they disrespect you. They damn sure disrespect black women.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they treat black women is egregious. You
know
what I'm
the
saying?
Way they treat us as a
so
people, I agree with you.
The bottom line is they get what they deserve. The hell with them, as far as I'm concerned. I ain't gonna lie about it.
Yeah, well,
I think
that the elimination of Palestinians, an elimination of Palestine, if it is such, the Gaza, wherever they are, is going to be happening. They're going to do it. Just like Trump agreed to let Jerusalem be the capital as opposed to Tel Aviv, once that happened, and the mosque, the famous mosque, is going to get blown up. Or
hey man,
restructure.
You see what they've done to our pyramids. You see what they've done to our Sphinx. You see what they've done to anything that we've built and we cultivated. They're going to destroy it, or they're going to try and claim it.
That's right.
I mean, look, the bottom line is we as a people are going to have to figure out a way how to move forward without dealing with this white man and his evil, because he just evil, man. There's nothing humane about him. There ain't nothing kosher about him. There ain't nothing nice about him. He just a blatant piece of sugar, honey, ice tea.
And see,
he always will be.
And see, Jay, when you look at that documentary, Exterminate All the Brutes, four parts, hour each part, four hours, Raoul Peck did a damn good job of putting it together and how he did it. I really appreciate it. And, of course, he relied not just on information that he got from the library or other resources, but he knew individuals who did outstanding research. He knew Sven Lundquist, a Swedish man who wrote the book Exterminate All Jews. He knew Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz, who wrote The Indigenous People's View of the History of the United States, as opposed to looking at it from Europeans' perspective. He's looking at it from the those who are deeply affected by it. And he also knew his countryman, Michel Rolf Tollet, who wrote Silencing the Past. You know, and he said, we're dealing with three things: civilization, colonization, extermination. The most colonizing people on the planet are Europeans. Look at what is now called Australia. Look at what is now Central and South America. Predominance of the cultures of Europe, of particularly of Spain and Portugal. Look at the United States. Look at France and in Canada. They are the colonizers. And they impose their history, they impose themselves on other people. And they
Black
do it.
Black people need to find somebody they can expose their will on and get themselves together, find out what a taste of enslaving somebody is like so that they can take some of these enslavers off of our back and leave us alone. Because
we have
the bottom line is you may need to feel what that devil feels.
Yeah, I hear you. We have a caller, 404-734-404-734. Good afternoon.
Hey, Baba Oshie, how are you?
Hey, how are you? Good. You called. Great.
Yeah, well, I'm at work. Okay. I wanted to get my my opinion in before the show was over. I only got through the first episode, but, I mean, I love how dynamic the documentary is.
Mm-hmm.
It kept it interesting. I like how he changed up the style.
Right.
And even at times when, like, music and things kept a little lighthearted, but the seriousness of what was being told wasn't lost in it. But I think it's something that I can show my daughter and definitely be able to follow it and be interested in. But just a few things that stuck out. In the first episode, number one, when the European came out of the woods coughing, to me, that whole scene summed up the essence of who they are. Like, he literally came out of nowhere coughing with his disease or whatever, and I noticed that throughout the scenes he would still be coughing. So that wasn't lost on me.
Yeah.
That wasn't lost on me.
Well, that's how a lot of them died. That's how a lot of them died, was through disease. It wasn't just the fact that they were killed physically, you know. A lot of them died through disease, and it wasn't just giving them blankets with smallpox in it. It was the fact that Europeans were so diseased, you know, that the contact is just like what's happening with this virus, you know, and other viruses through history. If I come in contact with you and you breathing on me and I have a immune system that is not strong enough to deal with what you got, you know, then I'll mess around and I'll die. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so just real quick, for me, one line that really stuck out was when he mentioned how poor white settlers would settle for white supremacy in place of slaves and land. But I mean, fast forward to centuries later, and this still rings true today, because, you know, these poor European people are here, they're willing to vote against their own interests just to keep up this illusion of white supremacy. So they're shooting themselves in the foot just to keep just to try to keep their feet on our neck. So I just found that line.
And what you said just recently, looking at what all these Caucasians are doing with these voting in each state, counting votes again in Arizona for the umpteenth time, the constant belief that the land was stolen, and they want to maintain that idea of supremacy. In fact, all these state-sponsored, not teaching the truth about the history of this country, but giving the teaching of the lie of 1776 again. So, yes, I understand what you're saying, clearly. I appreciate the call, dear.
Yeah, definitely a great documentary, and I'll definitely finish watching it.
Please do.
Thanks for the show.
All right, thank you. Peace. Oh, I just had a call. I thought he was going to say something, but I guess he decided not to say something. Call back, caller. So, but Jay, I only got 2 minutes,
yes,
man.
Yes, my brother.
Only got 2 minutes, brother. I appreciate, hopefully you get a chance to watch the documentary on HBO.
exterminate all the brutes.
Nah, man, I got what you call them this weekend if I have time. This underground thing on Prime.
Oh yeah, right.
You know the new,
yeah,
the new slave narrative. They say this one is gonna be a little more brutal and showing white man for who he really is.
Well, that could be Jay. That could be true. That could be true. But when you do some fantasizing and some things like that in this particular movie Underground, that there literally is an underground railroad, you know, there you go underground and there's a train, a literal train, you know. So I'm going to watch it too. So I'm not, I mean, I'm just a little.
Yeah, I just want to see what narrative he takes in it, because, you know, he's one of the new so-called black media darlings.
Okay.
But I think he's a twisted sister monkey man, though, because I remember his first work, I think, was Moonlight.
Moonlight, right. You know, you know what Moonlight
that was
is, right.
To justify,
right.
Justify monkey man is, though.
Yeah.
So I think he's a monkey man. So whenever you're dealing with a monkey man, it's off centered. You know what I mean?
It's
just not a balanced type.
It's just like Lee Daniels. It's just
we'll see.
Yeah, it's just like Lee Daniels, you know, Precious.
Hold on one second. He's not as twisted and perverse and sick as Lee Daniels. Lee Daniels is in a class of his own with monkey manism in media. No, Lee Daniels is a very, very twisted, sick individual. I don't think Jenkins has shown that type of twisted monkey manism, but he may reveal itself in this project. But no, Lee Daniels is beyond dangerous.
Well, that's what I'm saying about immediately. Right, that's what I'm saying about Billie Holiday versus United States
garbage.
Andrea Day did a good job, but a lot of those scenes didn't have to be. They really didn't have to be.
Well, you, you see how he introduced the world to a character that nobody in God's green earth could even identify. That little twisted monkey man that was the so-called assistant best friend gay boy.
Yeah.
Now he's been a twisted monkey man for a long time, and for him to get that type of exposure, it goes to show the sickness of Lee Daniels to put that type of trash into the public atmosphere. That's why I say, man, some people are just totally dangerous, and it's monkey men like that are dangerous. Wow. But, O.C., you have a beautiful weekend, man.
You too.
And is the grandson playing basketball this weekend?
No, man, it's no.
I'm surprised.
I know.
Supposed to be picking up.
No, man, it ain't happening. No happening. So I'm going to go to a Bacchus and Tsum Tsum Sunday. And tomorrow, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. So I'm going to enjoy the weekend because it's a free weekend when I don't have basketball or anything.
See what happens when you take that vaccine, man. You out there going about doing what you doing.
I ain't taking no vaccine.
You going to come clean. I would get you to come clean.
I ain't taking no vaccine. I'm going to wear my mask.
I'm going to wear mine too, brother.
Right on, brother.
And take my Plaximine.
Okay,
that's all I'm doing is taking my Plaximine and wearing my mask and staying as far away from individuals as I can. And all you can do, man.
I hear you, brother.
Because I know you got to get Dr. Aleem, or you got to get somebody on, or Elliot, I hope, is listening and get somebody on, because they really getting out of hand with this vaccine.
Oh, yeah.
And the way that they're trying to justify how people should take the vaccine. I was going at it with Karen Hunter on YouTube about, you know, you promote the vaccine. Why don't you promote alternative views on the vaccine?
Exactly.
And give our people a choice and an option.
Right.
And no,
why don't you promote alternative? Why don't you promote
that's dangerous.
Why don't you promote good health? Why don't you promote eating? Why don't you promote vitamin D? There's a number of things that you should be promoting aside from the vaccine. The whole bottom line is that everybody just is nothing. There's no protection other than the vaccine. You know, Jay, I gotta go, brother. You have a blessed weekend, man. You have a great weekend.
I will
Hotel,
too.
Brother.
Hotel, brother. I'll see you on Monday. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivahorie. Bivahorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed weekend. I hope to see you on Monday. Peace.